This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
A good Thursday evening to you. Welcome in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours. We're taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. We got a lot to get to. We're going to be almost all Cardinals baseball outside of a couple guests that we are going to have on the show. Our guest schedule for tonight in about a half hour, around 6:35 or so, we are going to talk with MLS Season Pass Apple TV broadcaster Nate Bucchetti. He's going to be on the call for City SC this upcoming weekend as they return to MLS play after they win an Open Cup game last night. I've been around sports long enough to know that you never begrudge a victory. You never begrudge a victory. If I have my number one belief when it comes to sports, you never begrudge a victory. So I choose my words carefully here, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. City got a win last night. Good for them. They scored a couple goals. Good for them. Glad to see. I hear my tone. It almost sounds like I'm being a smart aleck. I'm not. That I did a bad job controlling my tone right there. Good for them. They won. They needed a win. They scored goals. They needed to score goals. It was not impressive. They were playing a USL pro team. It was scoreless at halftime. Glad they got the win. Glad they scored goals. Don't know what that means for them as they continue MLS play. We'll talk more about that later on. We'll talk some Battlehawks football as their kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship, is going to be on at about 7:20. And outside of that, it's Cardinals baseball. We got a lot of things to get to. Also, we might do a little Pope stuff when it comes to baseball because, man, even the Cubs put out something on their social media. The Cubs said that the Pope's a Cubs fan. And it's clear that that the new Pope is not a Cubs fan. In fact, we'll play the audio for you later on. His brother spoke to WGN News in Chicago and said, "Man, I don't know where this Cubs talk is. The dude's not. Can I call the Pope a dude? He is not a Cubs fan. He is a White Sox fan. And in fact, there are some members of his family who are Cardinals fans. So." Not real clear where that's so for all of you, for the Catholics and the people who are very concerned about the Pope out there, who are also baseball Cardinals fans, don't worry. The leader of the Catholic Church is not a Cubs fan. Had that, you know, you finally get an American as a Pope. It's never happened before. And he would have to be a Cubs fan? No, we don't want that. That can't be. That cannot be. And of course, the poverty jokes write themselves, because as the Pope, you're supposed to, you know, dedicate, you're supposed to have a life of poverty. Well, he's a White Sox fan. Again, the jokes write themselves. But we'll actually play that audio from the Pope's brother. Those are words I never thought I was ever going to say on hosting Sports Open Line. We're going to play comments from the Pope's brother. Yeah, we're going to do that coming up later on. We are. That's something that we have for you. So, but look, outside of that, it's going to be a lot of Cardinal talk, just where this team is going, what they're doing, what this good run means for them. I saw somebody say, I see stuff on social media all the time, and I'm like, oh, that's a good thought. And I never want to steal stuff. I'll agree with a thought. I need to do a better job. Maybe I should start using like the bookmark tool on social media so I can go back and actually give credit to where credit is due. But I saw somebody say that the way the Cardinals are playing right now is essentially the best baseball we have seen from them. And best doesn't just mean most winning. Best means like style of play, aesthetics of how it's going, things like that. That, so, you know, entertainment is a big part of it. Winning is a part of it. There's a lot of things. So from an entertainment standpoint, when you got Victor Scott scoring from first on two hits that he had no business scoring from first on, like that's what we're talking about. That's the aesthetics of the game. That's the entertainment of the game, things like that. I saw somebody on social media, and if this was you who said that and you're listening, I appreciate you saying it, even though I can't remember who it was. That this has been the best baseball that we have seen from the Cardinals in a couple years. So really, since the start of 2023, right? And that's not like this huge statement, because 2023 was a terrible year. And then last year, part of the problem with last year, and I'm not trying to relitigate last year, because they were a winning team last year. They were a winning team last year that was non-compelling and kind of boring, right? Like they won more than they lost. Good on them. I'm not being dismissive of the fact that they were a winning team last year, but they set the expectations going into the year that they were going to try to be a playoff team, and they weren't that, so they failed in that. And then just the aesthetics of the way they played last year, it wasn't an overly entertaining brand of baseball, really outside of like Mason Wynn and maybe Ryan Helsley. Like that was... What were the two things that you would look forward to going to a Cardinals game last year? It was that hopefully Mason Wynn would make an incredible play at shortstop, and that the Cardinals would be winning, but not winning by more than three, so you could see the lights turn off and the red lights come on and Ryan Helsley come out like a pro wrestling entrance and then see him strike out a bunch of dudes. That was kind of the extent of the excitement of Cardinals baseball last year. And there's just a lot more than that. They're playing a fun style of baseball right now, and they also happen to be winning games. And the big question, and we talked about it yesterday on this show, and Kevin and I just talked about it on Redbird Rush Hour, and it's an off day today right now for the Cardinals, so this is kind of the low-hanging fruit narrative that we're gonna go with. It's how sustainable is this run that they've been on moving forward? And you know, yesterday, and I caught some grief on social media about this or through a text line on this, because yesterday on this show, I talked about the fact that, you know, we've seen them play their best baseball and we've seen them play their worst baseball this year. And somebody said to me on Twitter, oh, yeah, or of course, big statement there, Matt. Yeah, they've played their best baseball and they've played their worst baseball. Well, the point that I was making yesterday when I said that was that I think who they are is closer to the best version of what we've seen from them this year and further away from the worst version. That was the point I was trying to make yesterday, and I thought I did, but to some I didn't. And I would continue to stand by that. No team in sports is ever as good as they look when they're playing their best or as bad as they look when they're playing their worst. They're just not. The like all things in life, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Where in the middle is the bigger question? And I think I could be wrong. We'll We got the next few months to watch this thing play out. We're about 25% of the way through the season. We got three quarters more of it to go. But I think that this Cardinals team is closer to what we have seen over the last few days as compared to what we saw from them, say, when they went on the road against the Mets and the Braves, or what we saw from them when they lost a series against Pittsburgh and then just got absolutely destroyed against Boston. And that should be a reason for Cardinals fans to be somewhat excited about what's going on. Are the Cardinals on paper as good as the Cubs? No, they're not. Does that mean the Cardinals can't catch the Cubs? No, it doesn't mean that either. And the Cubs are certainly dealing with their fair share of injuries. Baseball is fluky. The Cubs are still the Cubs. They're always going to be the Cubs. That's just the way things are. But the Cubs are not that much better than the Cardinals. But the Cubs are not that much better than the Brewers, and they're not that much better than the Reds. Like it's almost what the standings look like right now, I think, tell the story. The fact that you have four teams separated by three games and you have three teams tied for second place, that is, I think, very indicative of what this division looks like and what it's going to continue to look like moving forward. We can take your comments on this today if you would like to. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. You can leave a message on the video stream if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. Lots of ways to get connected to the program. We've got more Sports Open Line coming up in just a moment here on KMOX. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Nate Buchady. We'll get his thoughts on City SC. They won a U.S. Open Cup matchup last night as they defeated Union Omaha, and 2-0. Good for them. They get that win, and now they're back to MLS play as they are going to take on San Diego. That's going to be at Energizer Park this Saturday, and Nate Buchady is going to be on the call for it, and he'll join us in about 10 minutes or so. We're talking mostly Cardinals baseball and kind of the big headlines coming out of from yesterday to today. Katie Wu wrote about this, and it's become clear. Like, I'm not taking a shot at Katie. Katie's the best. But like, if you watch the team, you know the way they're going to use the bullpen, and you know that they trust Kyle Leahy, Phil Maton, and Ryan Helsley. You know that Steven Matz, based off what Oliver Marmol has already said, that he's going to be the guy who stays in the bullpen now, at least for the time being. He'll probably make a spot start at some point. And if there's injuries, there's certainly a scenario where he ends up back in the rotation. But Matz is in the bullpen. He's got the Matthew Liberatore role from last year where he can give you multiples if you need it. He can mop up if you need it. He can do whatever if you need it. But he's also somebody that you trust and leverage, which is good because they need more guys to trust and leverage. And then kind of the next guy up right now, and he's got to prove it. It's, you know, the last three games have been really, really good. Three games doesn't make a season, is Gordon Graceffo. And if Graceffo continues to pitch at a high level, then at least for the time being, those are your five guys that you trust and leverage. You can make it through the season with five guys who you trust and leverage. And that doesn't even mention the fact that at some point Ryan Fernandez is going to be back. And I would think that Fernandez is going to get fixed. I don't know if it's this year, but I still very much believe in Ryan Fernandez and who he's going to be moving forward. Jojo Romero has the track record. Got to see if they can get him fixed, but right now he is not as effective as you would like him to be, so he's not really in that group. John King is somebody who tends to get better as the year goes along. But this bullpen is in a very different spot right now. And bullpens are so volatile. All it takes is 2 days of a starting pitcher not going very deep into a game or having a blow-up situation or using one of those bullpen pieces and them blowing up. Like, it doesn't take much for everything to get off the rails from a bullpen standpoint. The part of the reason that the Cardinals got such good results from the bullpen over the last few days was two of those 3 days, you got seven innings out of your starter. So that helps. That allows you to line guys up. That allows you to keep the bullpen rested. You want to see a bullpen that's going to be effective. Well, show me one that guys are getting the appropriate amount of rest. And that simply and bluntly was not happening for much of the season, where Kyle Leahy and Phil Maton were being used way too much. Just there, and I understood, like, that's not a criticism of the decision to use them. It was the byproduct of the circumstances, which you can't really control. And the job is to go out and find ways to win games. And for much of the season, the way to win games was to use those guys late. And the Cardinals were playing a lot of close games. And that's just the situation that they had to deal with. Well, like yesterday is a great example. Those add-on runs were huge, because you were able to avoid using somebody in the ninth inning, probably Helsley, maybe Maton. You were able to avoid using that guy yesterday, and you were able to use Roycroft, and that's going to help guys be rest. Now, there is such thing as too much rest, and that maybe applies to Ryan Helsley for the totality of the season this year, and that's the way it goes. But it's just the bullpen's in a better spot, and if the Cardinals have five guys, five's my number. If the Cardinals have five guys that they can trust, well, then you're gonna win most of those games that you take leads into late. And right now, that very much is the number that they have, and that is that's a good thing to be able to see. The other big storyline when it comes to the Cardinals, and we learned this last night, Lucan Baker was returned to AAA Memphis. If you are a listener to the Gas House Gang, which you should be, 12 noon every weekday right here on KMOX, we have our Tuesday conversation with Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, and then during the Redbird Rush Hour, Kevin and I replay some of the cuts and some of the things that Ali said, and we respond to them. And this week, Ali was specifically asked about what the roster could look like when Ivan Herrera comes back. Is it an automatic that Joel Pozo goes back down and you carry two catchers? Is there any scenario where you carry three catchers and you send somebody else down, probably a Lucan Baker? And to Ali's credit, he talked about it head on, and he gave the reasons why you would potentially send down a Lucan Baker. And it's not overly complicated. It's pretty simple. He's not playing enough. He's not getting enough opportunities. So you send him to Memphis and you hope to get him right. And then at the next chance to bring him back up, you are going to do just that. Joel Pozo, to me, has earned an opportunity at the big league level. I have been impressed with what he has been able to do. Defensively, he is fine. Offensively, pretty darn good. He's a .316 hitter with an .807 OPS. That's solid. So it's hard to send that guy back to AAA. And those numbers might fall off at some point. In fact, the numbers are likely to fall off at some point. There's a reason that this guy has played 21 total major league games in his career and has not gotten a major league opportunity since 2021. That's not me putting him down. That's just me giving facts. Teams want to win. Teams want to have players that are going to perform. Every team across Major League Baseball has essentially said that they did not believe that Joel Pozo is somebody who can be a regular major leaguer. Is there a chance that every team was wrong and this is who he is and he absolutely deserves to be a guy who's on a major league roster and should never go down to Memphis or whatever AAA team if he's in another organization? Is that a possibility? Do teams miss on guys? Yeah, teams miss on guys. We have this conversation all the time when we talk about Adolis Garcia, because the Cardinals missed on him, and then every single other team in baseball missed on him when there was an opportunity for any team to pick him up when he was designated before he kind of came through. So yeah, that happens. But if nothing else, Pozo in his first 11 games with the Cardinals, hitting .316 with that plus .800 OPS, you ride that as long as you can. And if at some point in time Pozo does come back to earth, if at some point in time Major League pitching starts to do things to him that he has a hard time adjusting to, you've got multiple options at that point. You can go back to Lucan Baker. Thomas Tejace is going to be there. At some point in time, Jimmy Crooks is going to be somebody that you want on the Major League roster. And if Crooks gets that opportunity, then you almost have to carry three catchers on the roster, because you're not going to move on from Ivan Herrera and you're not going to move on from Pedro Pajas. So this roster to me seems like one that is likely to include Ivan Herrera plus two more catchers moving forward, unless they were to move somebody, which I don't think is overly likely right now. We will take a break and come back. We'll switch gears. We'll get back to Cardinals baseball coming up later on, mostly Cardinals baseball today. But when we come back, we'll talk City SC as they're back into MLS play this weekend against San Diego after winning a U.S. Open Cup game last night. We'll get into all that with Nate Bucati. He joins us in just a moment here on KMOX. We are back at it here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are efforting right now Nate Bucati. We hope to get him on to talk some City SC soccer in the next few moments or so, as he's got the call tonight, or not tonight, on Saturday, I should say, for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass when they are going to City SC will match up against San Diego. So we do hope to talk to him coming up in the next few moments or so if we are able to get in contact with him. Look, it was good to see City get a win last night. Like I said earlier when I opened up the show, you don't begrudge a victory, right? Like, you won. You beat a lesser opponent. You beat a team from USL Pro, which is definitely, a lesser opponent, a lesser league than MLS. At the same time, there have been some MLS teams that have been knocked out here early on in the US Open Cup. Now, some of those teams are not taking things totally seriously based off the personnel that they're using. I think by watching and seeing who City used last night, you could tell that it mattered, right? It mattered that they wanted to win that. Not a lot has gone right for them recently, so it was a chance to get right. The last thing you wanted was almost like an accidental loss where it's scoreless and then Union Omaha gets a goal late when they got that second goal. That was important. At the same time, you bring Klaus in. You bring a guy who, for most teams, that guy with that stature, that guy's not playing in that match. And he played last night. You were able to extend the lead out to 2-0, and you get the win. It's just, this team has not yet done... I'm happy they won last night. This team has not yet done anything that would make you think that they're going to start having more success in MLS play. I don't know if that's one you build off of. Like, we talk about that all the time. Even losses sometimes. Well, you can build off this loss. You can build off this part of it. I don't know if yesterday is something they can build off of. It's a win. You get to feel good walking in the locker room after the game. That's good. Again, I'm not trying to put that down, but it's something that it was not the type of dominant when they played Union Omaha in the U.S. Open Cup just a couple years ago. They beat them by a lot, and it didn't happen for them yesterday. Now they're going to match up against San Diego this week. By the way, can I be a jerk for a second? I try not to be a jerk. I really don't. Being a jerk isn't really my thing, but I couldn't help but think this last night. So I was watching the broadcast, and Energizer Park was about as empty as I have seen it. The fans that were there were great. They were making noise. Obviously, the supporter section and everything, they were doing their thing. So this is not a criticism of the people who were there at Energizer Park last night. Not a criticism of them at all. But there's a little bit of a background to this, because there's a group of fans that were very unhappy last year when City did not participate in the U.S. Open Cup. And if you remember, they actually did a protest of the event that they played in instead. So now when City did not have as good of a year this past year, that puts them back into the U.S. Open Cup, and there's been some other rule changes and adjustments on who participates in the U.S. Open Cup and who does not. But if you're going to sit there and make as big of a deal as a group of people did last year about not being in the U.S. Open Cup and taking it to a level of being of protesting, I was disappointed that there was not more fans in that were there, right? That was that was my disappointment. And I'm the last person to be critical of fans walking into a stadium, because unfortunately that has largely been a conversation that we've had connected to the Cardinals, and it's not a conversation I like to have, and it's been more pronounced with the Cardinals, and it's probably not even fair on my behalf to sit there and be critical of a team that has one night where the attendance isn't great. So I'm probably not being fair. I'll recognize that I'm not being fair. I thought, I don't know if ironic's the right way to say it, just the looking at this situation and seeing that there was all this made last year about not being in the U.S. Open Cup. They're back in the U.S. Open Cup, and then attendance is not especially good last night. I'm not being critical of the attendance. I'm being critical of the way this whole thing went down, with fans making such a big deal of things last year, and then when all is said and done, it's not even like there's a ton of people in the stadium once they get back into the U.S. Open Cup. I thought that was kind of funny. I don't think we are going to get Nate Bucchetti. We might be able to get some. You know, we're going to take an early break right here, and when we come back, I think we're going to have somebody from Apple TV. If not, we'll jump back into the Cardinals conversation. So we'll take an early break here, and I'm going to work on a couple things, and then we'll be back in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it. Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two, we're going to talk with Battlehawks kicker Rodrigo Blankenship. He is going to join us, talk all things Battlehawks football. We'll continue the Cardinals conversation, getting some good comments coming in as well on the text line about the Cardinals, and even through the on the stream, video stream as well. So we'll touch on some of those things and open up the phones and give you a chance to chime in on the Cardinals as well. That's all going to be coming up in just a while. But as mentioned, City SC, they played in the U.S. Open Cup yesterday. They come away with a win, and they're going to get back at it coming up this weekend as they play host to San Diego. And we're very happy to welcome on to the broadcast. He's going to be the analyst on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass this weekend. It is Devin Kerr. Devin, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I appreciate you having me on. Sorry for any mix-ups that were down the stretch with my partner, but you were smart. You went to the bullpen. You brought the lefty in. Yeah, so I'm ready to rock. Let's
you're the closer. You're holding on to a one-run lead, and you're going to strike out the
side.
You
know, being left-side dominant hasn't benefited me most in my life, but people pay good money for the lefties. So let's do it, man.
All right, there you go. What do you take? So, again, I know it was an MLS play, and we'll preview the San Diego matchup, but City has been struggling so much. They find a way to win last night, 2-0 against Union Omaha in the Open Cup, but that's a much lesser team that stuck around. It was scoreless at the first half. Did you take more positives or more negatives for City out of last night?
I took more positives.
Okay.
And so that we're clear, I'm not the person that blows smoke, for better or for worse. I tell you how I feel. And in this situation, I think a team that has really been struggling for any sort of glimpse attacking-wise and some sort of consistency, even on the defensive front, because they've been leaking goals recently, this was it. I firmly agree with you in the sense that, they certainly let a quote-unquote lesser opponent from a lower division hang around too long. But there was good looks going forward. I thought Simon Betcher was excellent on the night. Certainly one of the better players in a St. Louis City uniform, had a couple of good looks. Celio Pompeo was touch and go. We got a semi-decent look of Jean De Silva and what that's going to be. But, you know, most importantly, you did get a result. Cup football is different than domestic play. The mindset changes. It's a character game. And I think it sets up some real confidence for what is going to be a drastically tall task against San Diego FC, especially after the 5-0 that just was.
Again, I'm not trying to be dismissive of Union Omaha. This question is going to sound like I am. That's not the intent here. It's lesser athletes. So with that, there's going to be some more room. If you're City SC and you have just not gotten that room and not been able to do anything that you wanted to do in recent weeks in MLS play, is there value, even if it doesn't end in a goal, is there value in play, what you were just talking about, having some looseness and actually being able to do something that you would like to do, if that makes sense?
Yes. Yes, and I would say something. I agree with you in terms of the lesser opponent, certainly on the athletic side. Usually the biggest discrepancy that you're going to get from first division to third division or lower divisions in general is two things. Number one is athleticism, and number two is consistency. Skill sets can actually be quite similar. It's who can recreate it on a regular basis more frequently. That is the biggest difference from, you know, D3, D2, D1, so on and so forth. The good takeaway that I had were the moments in the first half. When you talk about lesser spaces, I actually thought there were some really good moments where they created in tight-knit areas. This Union Omaha team is not a team that sits deep and defends like that. Not domestically in USL League One. They actually play a lot more like San Diego FC combined with a little bit of St. Louis City, and I would add in a touch of flair on the attacking side like LAFC. You bring all three of those together, good ball movement, deep-lying defending, and high-level attacking, that's what Union Omaha is. They park the bus. I don't care if you take 50 middle schoolers and put them out there in front of 10 professional players. That's not an easy thing to break through. Trust me, I've messed around with it from a charity standpoint. They're like little bees, just keep buzzing in your way, and it's hard to do. So I think you have to take positive thoughts out of it. I think the most important thing for St. Louis City fans is they're going to sit there and go, it hasn't been good. It's a lower opponent. We should have beat them. Yeah, but you did beat them. And you moved on in the final 16 of a cup competition where that is still, in this country, the fastest route to get a trophy and to get into CONCACAF Champions Cup. St. Louis City has been here before in 23. They did it in 24. Slow starts in 24, fast start then cooled off in 23. And the cup competition in 23 gave them a little bit of a limelight. Again, I'm very much a glass half full person. I think the problems are still very real. And I'm more than happy to dive into those. But coming out of that specific result, if you're in that locker room, you have to remain positive. If you're looking over your shoulder or the other direction and thinking negative, that only spells doomsday, and that makes your season funnel even worse.
Okay, so their last MLS action was against Seattle, where it might have been their worst performance in their existence when they lost by a 4-1 score. If it wasn't the worst, it was one of the two or three. How the game yesterday notwithstanding, how in the world do you bounce back from that to put together a competitive game against San Diego on this weekend?
Well, number one, you got to retain hope. And I think that is not just hope of, okay, we can be better and go get a better result. I think it's hope that in the near future, although I think Ben Lunt has done an excellent job in goal, that you get Roman Berkey back, not just because of his performances in net. Obviously, we know his grade. But the expectation of leadership and the role that he brings within a group, I'm not just talking about 90 minutes. When you have a leader like that who has seen the success, who has helped lead you to heights, I don't want to call it the promised land because we know that 23 didn't end the way that everybody wanted it to after the record start, that you retain the idea that you can still get back there. And the consistency of guys like that are the ones that get you there. Edouard Louvin came into the game yesterday, and while he had a ton of frustration for his teammates around him, I thought he had some quality moments within the game. Now, mentally, where is he at? That's probably a bigger ask than his ability to get back on.
Devin, you still there? You know what? I think we may have just had a complete internet droppage in our building because our video stream has dropped as well, and that's connected to the internet, and our phone system is connected to the internet as well. So that's what I'm guessing happened, because it looks like our video stream is down. Are we still on? I hope we're still on the air. Are we still on the air? Somebody want to text me? Just confirm that indeed we are still broadcasting on the radio, 314-436-7900, because I think we've had a complete drop-off here in our building. So we will see what's going to happen. But yeah, there is an internet issue. And you see, you know what? This is what I was talking about earlier when I was doing my live spot for i3 Broadband, because our world is controlled by the internet. The internet goes down. What happens? We lose our phone line. So, that's why I thought so positively about what I said earlier. There you go. And we're in a spot. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get him back. We have zero internet whatsoever, in our building. So we are going to have to move forward without as best as we can. We are going to have to move forward without. I was interested to see what he was saying. What is just a, a perfect turn of events that that we've got going on when it's trying to get to our Apple guests. By the way, because we always have them plug what Apple TV is, I can do that for them. Apple TV does a great job covering all things. Emma, you know, I'm not trying to take a shot, but last night, the U.S. Open Cup, that was not an Apple TV production, and they did a perfectly fine job broadcasting the game last night as I was watching. But as I was watching, I went, man, you really, when watching this and normally watching City on Apple TV, you can really tell the difference of production, of all aspects of it. So they do a really good job. Whether you're a soccer fan or not, they do a fantastic job with what they do. And so that's it was a good example last night of watching it and not on Apple TV on the way things can end up going. Of course, you can always listen as well on our sister station, Y98. So just so you know, these MLS games, they have been on our sister station as always, Y98, the home City SC. Last night, we had the Open Cup right here on KMOX. And as the Open Cup run continues, their next matchup is going to be on KMOX as well. So just kind of keep your head on a swivel if you're looking to listen to the City matchups, because they are going to, they'll be in different spots either on Y98 or here on KMOX, just depending on what's going on. But that next U.S. Open Cup matchup that they're going to have, that is going to be on that is going to end up being on KMOX as well. All right, we are going to take a break here in just a moment. We'll see if we can get our internet figured out. If not, we'll still we'll talk through the next hour or so. We are scheduled to have Battlehawks kicker Rodrigo Blankenship. He is supposed to join us at 7:20 or so. We hope that we can make that happen. We'll see if we can get stuff put together coming up in just a moment or so. I would tell you to text in or to call in at 314-436-7900, but right now, that's not going to do you any good whatsoever as we work through some technical issues. Oh, I got a text message saying that I'm still on the air. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. We're back with more in a moment here on KMOX.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it as we roll on, it appears that we got everything figured out, so I think we are going to be good when it comes to getting Battlehawks kicker Rodrigo Blankenship back onto the program coming up in just a little while, and hopefully all is well. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air. I did want to play something for you, as this kind of became a little bit of a controversy today. At no point in time did I ever think that on Sports Open Line, we would be sitting here talking a lot about the Pope, because there is a new Pope in place, and it's kind of cool. The Pope's got some ties to St. Louis, as very early on in his career, He spent a year working in the St. Louis area. So he's a Chicago guy, right? And when the news first came out, all of a sudden there were reports out there that said the new Pope is a Cubs fan. And here's the thing. How do I say this nicely? When hardcore news people that don't know sports try to do sports, sometimes the information is not factually correct. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody, even though it kind of sounds like I am. If there's ever a big national sports story, and maybe you're like listening to our national sports or our national news updates, or you're watching national news and they don't have a sports person there, there's a pretty good chance they're going to mispronounce somebody's name, or there's going to be some context to it that they don't get right. So that's just a little piece of information to keep in your back pocket, that when sports and regular news collide, if there is some sort of news that is coming from somebody that is not connected via the sports standpoint, then there's a chance it might get wrong. Like, so I believe, I'm not trying to call anybody out. It may have been ABC News that said today that the new Pope is a Cubs fan. Well, what could have easily happened is somebody told somebody at ABC News that the new Pope is a Chicago baseball fan. And, oh, the Chicago Cubs. Okay. And then they just went with it. He's a Cubs fan. No, he's a Chicago baseball fan. You don't know if that's Cubs. You don't know if it's White Sox. Again, people in the old sports industrial complex, our next question would be Cubs or White Sox. Which one is it? Big difference. Big difference. But somebody who's not in the sports world is going to sit there. Oh, they just know Cubs. Oh, he's a Chicago baseball. So that no ill will involved in this. But unfortunately, when there is some incorrect information that gets out there, it can just go crazy. In fact, so much so that the Cubs even tweeted out a picture of the marquee at Wrigley Field, the very famous Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Cubs, with it reading, "Hey Chicago, he's a Cubs fan." No, he's not. He's not a Cubs fan. He's not. Fake news, as somebody would say. That's not something I say very often. In fact, I'm a little embarrassed that those words even just came out of my mouth. But it's true. That is not true. The Chicago Cubs are lying to you. They're, you know, we should. They do those little like community notes on Twitter. Yeah, we need to community note this. Somebody get on this. Somebody who's smarter than me and knows how to like request a community note. Go there. And you can, if you go to my Twitter, you can see where I retweeted something from the Pope's brother saying that he was never. In fact, you know what? Let's just go ahead and play this. This is our new Pope. I'm not Catholic. Can I say our? Sure. Our new Popes? The new Popes? I don't even know the language to go with here. The new Pope's brother. This is what he had to say. Credit goes to WGN News in Chicago. They spoke with the Pope's brother, and they were really getting into the hard news here.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there. And our dad was a Cardinals fan, so I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from Northside, so that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
Okay, so there it is. Again, the first statement out of the Pope brother's name, or a Pope brother's mouth, is very important.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know.
He was never, ever a Cubs fan. He was never, ever a Cubs fan. So, at Cubs on Twitter and everybody out there who, I mean, the Chicago media, the baseball media in Chicago, they were taking victory laps this morning. You couldn't go anywhere on social media without seeing everybody in Chicago celebrating the fact that the new Pope is a Cubs fan, and it was not true, not real at all. At all. Dude's a White Sox fan. Good for him. Now, the Pope's brother did mention his mom God bless her. I'm sorry. She was a Cubs fan, but much more importantly, his dad was a Cardinals fan. So mom, a Cubs fan because she grew up in North Side Chicago. Dad was a Cardinals fan. Don't know where the dad grew up, but doesn't matter. He was a Cardinals fan. And then somehow, some way, he became a, well, he grew up on the South Side of Chicago. So he became a White Sox fan. So yeah, for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can see the marquee where the Cubs are just lying to you. You know what? If you're Catholic and you're a Cubs fan, you shouldn't be a Cubs fan anymore. This should offend, not just if you're Christian, if you have a faith in anything, if you have a faith in anything and you're a Cubs fan, you should say you have to denounce your fandom. You know, some people like to want to denounce God. No, denounce the Cubs. Denounce them. And because they are lying to you about the Pope. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that you can lie about and you'll probably get away with it. You'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Like, I'm never somebody to say that lying is okay, but like, what's the stat? We all like lie, like, you know, a lie comes out of our mouth like once every hour or something crazy like that. I don't know. Maybe it's more often than not. That's what the statistic says. Okay. So if we're all lying about stuff, that's fine. But you're lying about the Pope? Man, if Wrigley Field has like a massive power outage or something, we know why, right? If that marquee gets hit by lightning, we know why. The answer to that is because...
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan. So
he was never, ever a Cubs fan. He was never, ever a Cubs fan. So there you go. Kevin, by the way, sends a message and does not appreciate me using this time to talk about the Pope. Come on. A new Pope gets put in place like once every, how it's... what, third or fourth time in my lifetime? It doesn't happen very often. And now we've got the baseball angle to go along with that. Oh, and I'm getting some stuff on the text that people enjoy me talking about the Pope. So there you go. The Pope is not a Cubs fan. And that applies to the... By the way, you want the Cardinals to be good? Like, we don't need any favor towards the Cubs. We don't. We just don't need that. So the Pope not... And probably, if the Pope's... You know what I know about White Sox fans? White Sox fans don't like the Cubs. They do. They take offense. If you've ever been around Chicago baseball fans, like, Cubs fans don't really hate the White Sox. They're sort of just not even on their radar. White Sox fans hate the Cubs. White Sox fans tend to hate Cubs fans. There is much more hate from the White Sox to the Cubs than there is from the Cubs to the White Sox. So I know he's the Pope. He's not supposed to hate. That's a pretty important part of all of this. But he probably has a negative disposition. Let's go with that. Negative disposition towards the Cubs. So I'm happy about that. We've run this thing down. We have figured it out. The Pope does not like the Cubs. He likes the White Sox. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I initially meant to just kind of throw that Pope thing in as sort of a side thing, but, you know, he's not a Cubs fan, so we had to go with that. John Camp is our reporter. He even said that he just got an ESPN notification on his phone that they said that, you know, that's with that same audio that I just mentioned. So it's news that he is very much not a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan. So we will move on from that conversation for now. We are awaiting a call from Rodrigo Blankenship. Hope to talk with him coming up in just a moment or so, as we will talk with him about all things Battlehawks football. He is coming off a really solid week where he was named the Special Teams Performer of the Week for the United Football League. He has been the most reliable kicker in the league so far this year. He is the only UFL kicker that has not yet missed a field goal, and he was 2 for 2 this past weekend, and his 14 successful field goals this year tops in the league. So hopefully we will talk with Rodrigo coming up in just a moment or so. So there you go. Again, Cardinals are off today. That's why we've got the full two-hour show. They're about to hit the road for a three-city trip, and, man, three-city trips scare me. They do. they can, it can go okay. Like, you can get done with it and say, okay, you survived the three-city trip for sure, and everything was everything ends up being okay. And bluntly, like, they're on this three-city trip that starts tomorrow. You've got two of the three teams are very beatable teams in Washington and Kansas City. I think you really hope that you can take two out of three from Washington, and you also hope that Kansas City starts to slow down. Kansas City's on a run. I don't know if people have really noticed the run that they are on. Now, a large part of it is connected to the fact that they've been playing terrible teams here recently. They played a three-game series against the Orioles where they won the last two, and then they played a four-gamer against who we just were talking about, the White Sox, and they were able to sweep through that. So it definitely helps the Royals that they've been playing lesser competition, but you know, the season got started. They had a very slow start to their year. So it's been a year of kind of a roller coaster. So in that way, it might actually be good that the Cardinals are catching Kansas City at the end of the trip, because maybe by that time they slow down. Like, that scares me about Baltimore. They're going to face off against Baltimore at the end of the month. Baltimore's terrible right now. I don't know how terrible they are going to be as the year ends up going along, but you don't want them to kind of get some wind in their sails before the Cardinals face them. So, look, people like me look too deep into these things, right? Like, you look at the schedule and you try to analyze the schedule and, oh, you want to be playing this team at this time. Oh, it's a three-city trip. Which team would you want to play first? Which team would you want to play last? And I do that. I'm guilty of it. I've been talking about it here over the last few minutes. At the end of the day, go win games, and it is going to it's going to be okay. You know, I got a text message earlier from 314 when I was talking about kind of my expectations for this team moving forward, and my expectations haven't changed from the start of the season. I still think this team has as wide of a range from their ceiling to floor as just about any team in baseball. Can this team keep doing a version of what they're doing right now and stay in contention and stay in the neighborhood of 500 and maybe even a little bit more than 500 because they go on a little bit of a run? Yeah, all of that is possible. Is it also possible that this team completely falls off? Yeah, that is very much a possibility as well. And especially, you know, they've basically been the fourth place team in the division for much of the season. Right now, they're tied for second, but it's a three-way tie. So, you know, from a semantical standpoint, they're tied for fourth as well. You got the first-place team with the Cubs, and they've got three teams after that that are there. So we've talked about it. This is going to be a season where I think they're going to be really close. But again, the text message I got, it asked me if I was losing my mind because there's still 120 games to go, because I have been somewhat positive about what's going on. I don't think I'm losing my mind. And I'll repeat what I said before the season even got started. Like, I don't get everything right. I get stuff wrong. I know I get stuff wrong. And I'm going to continue to get stuff wrong on occasion for sure. But my whole thing before the season got started was I didn't understand why people had such low expectations for this Cardinals team, where the offense by luck was going to be better. Starting pitching was probably going to be about the same. And even if the bullpen took a step back from last year, it wasn't going to take so much of a step back that it outweighed what you were going to gain from a step forward from the offense. Now, what I didn't get right in all that is, at its worst this year, when the bullpen has just been completely non-trustworthy, that's been enough for this team to look bad. That's been enough for this team to have a really, really hard time winning games. They have seemingly righted the ship a little bit. I still believe in a lot of these guys. This Gordon Graceffo development, that's a big thing right now. And I'm not trying to put a lot on him. Again, he's a guy who didn't make the club out of spring, had his first opportunity with the Cardinals earlier this year, and it didn't go well. I mean, dude's got a plus six ERA. But what we've seen from him in these last three appearances it's been very promising to see what we've seen from him. And if you can start to rely on him a little bit more, and if starting pitching can continue to stay healthy, where you've got the opportunity to keep Steven Matz there in the bullpen. Well, all that adds up to a team that should be better than the team was last year. I don't think that's crazy. That again, that's where I never the fourth place finish, the just over 70 win prognostications from people going into this season, that's where I jumped off. Because I'm not telling you this team's going to be in the playoffs. I'm not even telling you this team's for sure going to be over 500. I think they'll be in the neighborhood. But I just didn't understand why so many people had this assumption that it was going to be a complete drop-off, even compared from last year. Even if you thought the bullpen was going to take a little bit of a step back, the other stuff should have been good enough. And I think that's the way it's played out through the first almost 40 games of the season, through 38 games here so far this year. That's the way it has seemingly played out. And if they can play better on the road, that would go a long way toward, like, you look for reasons that they can be better. And I think specifically the reasons that they can be better than what they've done in the first 38 games is they should have a better win-loss record on the road, and they should also and they also play a schedule that's going to be a little bit easier. Now, from a perspective why they may not be as good, offensively, can this hold up? Because there are some gaudy numbers. Gaudy number, maybe gaudy is too strong. One of them's gaudy. Because of where it's ranked, the St. Louis Cardinals right now have the best team batting average in all of Major League Baseball. They are number one. They have a .260 team batting average. You listen to me a lot. I know I'm dismissive of batting average a lot. Like, I don't think that tells the story. I'm an OPS guy over more than anything else. So I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when all of a sudden when batting average is when it supplements my point, all of a sudden I start using it. So I'm trying to be fair about this. I'm not telling you that batting average is end all be all, but it's not nothing. And they've got a .260 average. There's two teams at .259, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. So those are your top three teams in batting average right now in baseball. And you start to look at some of the other numbers and where they rank. Cardinals are second in baseball when it comes to hits. Like, we could go through all the various numbers, but they've got some really good numbers from an offensive standpoint. I don't think they're going to lead Major League Baseball in hitting when all is said and done. I don't that number is going to fall off. Some other numbers are going to start to move forward, but that does tell a little bit more of the story of where things are at right now, which definitely is something to take note of, I think, as we continue to evaluate this season. And while there's still a lot of people out there that are trying to decide whether to hop on, I know what I'm about to say is a really common thing for, I think, a healthy bit of the Cardinal fan base. You're stuck right now between being upset with the organization, not liking John Mozeliak, not liking Oliver Marmol, not liking the DeWitts, all these things, much of which I disagree with. Like, I'm not saying that's where I'm at. I'm saying, speaking for a group of fans who I hear from all the time, that's where you're at. You have all these negative feelings towards different pieces in the organization. I can sit here and argue with you why I think you're wrong about a lot of that stuff, but that doesn't matter for this conversation. For this conversation, all that matters is that's where you're at. You have negative feelings about a lot of things going on with the organization. While on the other hand, it's been a fun team and an exciting team, and it's been a respectable team. They're 500. I'm not crowning them. Like, there's no guarantee that they're going to be anything special, but they are a... So you're stuck between the two areas on what this is going to look like moving forward, and whether or not this is a team that's going to be worth, you know, your time and watching what is going on here moving forward. I think we're gonna get Rodrigo Blankenship. We're gonna take a quick break, And then we'll get him on right after this break. We'll talk Battlehawks football coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back out of here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Great to have you with us today. The Battlehawks, they're on a little bit of a run here, which is really, really good. And they pick up some weekly honors this past weekend as they're able to get Defensive Player of the Week, also Special Teams Player of the Week. And that is none other than Rodrigo Blankenship, who joins us on the program right now. Rodrigo, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, how much I'm always careful when I like talk about guys' numbers, so I won't say the specific thing to you that you've got going, but how good are you feeling right now with just your performance and what you've been able to do this year?
Yeah, it's been nice to be able to perform at the level that I have so far, but the season, you know, still has plenty of life left to it. And so I just have to continue to go out and prepare at a high level so that I can go out and try and continue to perform at a high level for the rest of our games this season.
Take me through that, because I think people understand, like, if you're a player on offense or defense or even a specialist that's, you know, on the kickoff unit or whatever, like the things that you can do to prepare. For you personally, what does that look like as you're getting prepared for any given game?
Well, I mean, it starts with, you know, trying to have a good week of practice. You know, I have my routine that I like to go through to try and make sure that I'm ready to go for all of our practices each week. And, you know, that's kind of where it starts, is just being able to go out and have a good week of practice and just feel confident about how I'm striking the ball that week. And then after that, it's just kind of a matter of taking care of my body for the last couple of days, you know, while we travel for wherever our game is going to be, and then the morning of, because most of our games are night. So, you know, that's kind of a way that, you know, if you're smart, you can kind of separate yourself a little bit, is using the day of the game as a, you know, last minute kind of a body prep and recovery work. So, you know, just trying to make sure that I do all of those things the right way will also just put me in a good place physically. And then going over my film from, you know, from practice, going over my kicks to see the things that I did well, and, you know, trying to kind of hone in on those things as I get ready to go out for the game. And as long as I do all of those things, then, you know, that usually sets me up to be able to have a pretty strong performance when it comes time for game day.
That's interesting. So you, in terms of looking at film from practice, you go back and you look at basically every kick or almost every kick that you've taken practice, and you use that to get better?
Yeah, absolutely. I go back and watch every kick. As long as we have the film available, we had a minor technical difficulty yesterday where one of our cameras was overheating, so I didn't get to see the last couple kicks from yesterday, but I'll still have another opportunity to get some more kicks on film tomorrow. That'll be our last practice of the week before we head to Memphis. So yeah, I want to make sure that I look at all of my kicks, make sure that I, you know, look at the things that went right. If anything didn't go right, then I'll, you know, look at that to see where things maybe didn't go how I wanted them to, and I can use that to make corrections to help me be as best as I can be for our game.
You were an incredible college kicker. You won the Lou Groza Award at Georgia. You put together a four-year run that was nothing short of fantastic. How much better are you now compared to who you were when you left Georgia and when you became a pro?
I think the biggest thing has just been the leg strength. I think that I'm stronger now than I was at the time. You know, just having more reps, I think that I've just been able to be a little bit more refined and just a little bit more consistent. You know, I've had pretty solid field goal numbers ever since I left college, whether it was with the Colts or the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You know, so the what I've been able to do from a field goal perspective up until this point, I think, has been a little bit better than what it was in college, and I just hope that I can continue to show that I am more consistent and more accurate than I was in college, as well as stronger. Obviously, it kind of took a little bit of a, I'm not going to say a setback, but just, you know, a step in my journey of having hip surgery a couple of years ago, just because I had some recurring injuries that I couldn't really fully get rid of. And so I had a hip surgery in January of 2023. And I think that, you know, ever since I've gotten back to being able to kick fully, I feel like that has helped me to be stronger than I ever was before.
Yeah, you mentioned your pro career with the Colts and with the Cardinals, and you got an opportunity to, you know, be with the Buccaneers a little bit before eventually getting this Battlehawks opportunity. Is that, to going back to what you just talked about with coming off the hip surgery, is this the opportunity with the Battlehawks for you to show NFL teams that you're still the same guy, if not better, than you were early on in your professional career?
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity that the Battlehawks organization has given to me to be a part of their team and to, you know, use the UFL as an opportunity to show everybody else that, you know, I'm still capable of performing at a high level. So I'm very grateful to be here, and, you know, I just want to make the absolute most of it. But yeah, this is, you know, absolutely an opportunity that has been on my radar. It was, you know, on my radar throughout the course of the most recent NFL season, where, you know, my thought process was kind of, if I don't get a call during the NFL season, then the UFL is the next opportunity that I would want to look forward to and try and push myself and, you know, try and advertise myself to get in there. So I'm very thankful to be here, and I just hope that I can continue to maximize the opportunity that's been given to me.
Is that a common thought right now for NFL guys? Because when the UFL was the XFL, and when, you know, spring football, there was another league out there, like the leagues haven't been able to completely hold on. And now this is the thing that finally seems to have maybe a little bit of lasting power. And there's been a lot of guys who have gotten NFL opportunities by coming through the UFL. Is there kind of a league-wide feeling for NFL guys that if you're not on a roster, going to the UFL is a really good opportunity to find your way back to the NFL?
I would hope that is the mindset. It's hard to say just because I haven't been in an NFL locker room in a little while. It's hard to say if, you know, if that's the thinking or not. I also haven't talked to too many other, you know, free agent specialists recently, but I do know that, you know, the opportunity that I used to get in front of UFL personnel was a kicking combine in San Diego that was hosted by former NFL kicker John Carney. He is based in San Diego, and he trains kickers and punters out there of, you know, all ages, high school, college, and some pros as well. And so he partnered with the UFL to host a combine back in December, and I went to that showcase to get in front of some UFL personnel, and there was probably about 30 to 35 other kickers there. A lot of them had previous NFL stints at one point or another in their careers, and, you know, there was plenty of punters and snappers as well. So at least all the guys that went to that showcase, and there was another one hosted by Nick Novak, who used to kick in the NFL as well. So all of the guys that went to those showcases are, you know, very aware of the UFL and the opportunities that it provides. And so hopefully more guys will see, even if it's, you know, not just kicking and punting. I mean, there have been guys at all positions across the league that have given themselves opportunities to go back to the NFL because of how they performed in the spring leagues. So hopefully more, you know, more free agents will recognize that and appreciate it and try and push themselves to get into this league and use it as an opportunity to get back to where they want to go.
Rodrigo Blankenship continuing to join us, Battlehawks kicker. You've got the nickname Hot Rod. That's a great nickname because your first name is Rodrigo. How long have you had that nickname? What was the, did somebody give it to you? What was the origin of it?
I think I've had it since my college days. And really, I think it was just the Georgia fans that started to call me that. Once I started to kick for the team, during the 2016 season, it kind of caught on then, and it's been around ever since.
You've played in the NFL, you've played SEC football, so you've played in front of incredible fan bases, and spring football is always going to be a little bit off of that, but we know that Battlehawks fans, when it comes to the rest of the league, is the best. How different is it for you when you're kicking in a game at the Dome in St. Louis and you've got all the noise and all the craziness versus what it's like in some of these other environments that kind of are a little bit stale?
I mean, kicking in the Battle Dome is awesome. It is absolutely the closest thing that you have to kicking in an NFL game. St. Louis fans are awesome. You know, they show out in awesome numbers for us in every home game. And so I'm really thankful that I ended up coming to the Battlehawks specifically, you know, because we have an awesome environment when we get to go up to St. Louis and play our games there. And it definitely is a drastic a noticeable difference from when we have played in our couple of road games that we've had so far this season. But it's not something that I'm unaccustomed to, because my rookie year in the NFL was 2020, and that was the first COVID year.
Yeah.
And so a lot of teams either were not allowing fans at all, or were only allowing a very small percentage of their fans in their stadiums. So I remember my rookie year, I went to, we played at Chicago, we played at Las Vegas, we played at Pittsburgh, and there might have been a couple others, but those I remember specifically, they were not allowing fans at all. So we walked into that stadium, and then you could see maybe a handful of security guards posted up around the stadium, and that was it. So we at least have more fans than that. So, you know, it's a different feeling, but also, you know, because of my career journey up to this point, it's, you know, not something that I haven't done before. I know that some guys, you know, kind of feed off of the energy and the liveliness of the crowd. And, you know, maybe they're able to derive some extra juice from the crowd. And so when you go to these road games and you don't have that available, you know, then what are you going to do? Then you really have to dig deep and, you know, pull that motivation for yourself without being able to feed off of the fans. But, you know, thankfully I don't think I'm one of those guys. And, but the fact that I've played in front of no fans before, you know, helps me to be able to stay locked in and not treated any differently when we go to our road games this season.
Battlehawks are 4-2. They'll play at Memphis this Sunday. The next time they play at home is going to be on May 17th when they welcome in Birmingham. That's going to be a 12 noon kickoff. Tickets are available at the UFL.com, and just get to the Battlehawks page, but the UFL.com, and everything's pretty self-explanatory from there. Rodrigo Blankenship, he is the reigning special teams player of the week in the UFL. Hey, great to get to know you a little bit. Your story's awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation. Best of luck down the road, and maybe we'll be able to chat again down the line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me tonight.
You bet. Very good. That's Rodrigo Blankenship. That's a really interesting journey that he has been on, the hip surgery, trying to get back to the NFL. Guy's been pretty successful in the NFL and hasn't had much of a shot post that injury, and then working his way back and you know, going to an event to get some scouts' eyes on him, and then being with the Battlehawks, and even his first year in the NFL being the COVID year, that playing 4 years at Georgia in the SEC. I mean, that's a guy who has accomplished and been able to experience a whole bunch of things, and really, really cool to be able to hear that story for sure. We wanted to mention this earlier when we were talking Cardinals, and we'll jump back into the Cardinals in a moment, but do want to remind you that tomorrow the Cardinals are going to open up a series against Washington. What's on Deck? It is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Three-game series begins tomorrow, 5:45 first pitch tomorrow night. That means our coverage is going to begin at 4:50. We'll come back. We'll get some of these text messages and some of the video messages that have come in to us, and we'll wrap up this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line. That's up next here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It is a strike zone hour. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs based in St. Louis. Graybar is a great place to work. So the future, specifically tomorrow, is the future, building the roster for tomorrow. It would appear that Yvonne Herrera is going to be back on the team, as yesterday it came out on the MLB transactions wire that Lucan Baker was being returned to AAA Memphis, and you would assume at that point that Yvonne Herrera indeed is going to be back with the team. And now we're going to see what it looks like moving forward. The fact that Herrera dealt with a little bit of residual soreness after catching at Memphis, and the fact that Joel Pozo has done such a good job for the Cardinals, I think it makes a lot of sense. So you can make sure to keep Herrera in the lineup, if not every day, just about every day. You can catch him a little bit, and then you can DH him a little bit all at the same time. And then if you need to get him out of a game, you've got another catcher available. That's the other side of it. So you've got protection for Yvonne Herrera by going with the three catchers. So I like this roster arrangement. And like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about this during the Redbird Rush Hour, I also think this sets you up to kind of have your roster the way you want to have it look maybe in the future, because at some point Jimmy Crooks is going to be ready. And when Jimmy Crooks is ready, you're probably going to want to, if that happens in the next year, you don't want to move on from Pedro Pajes. He is the perfect guy in his role. A good defensive catcher who's never going to embarrass himself at the plate. You don't want to move on from Yvonne Herrera. That's a legit middle-of-the-order run-producing bat. Jimmy Crooks right now would appear to be the frontline catcher of the future for this team. So you want to find a way to have all those guys on the roster. So figure that out now. And that's part of what I don't think that really goes into the equation of what they're doing right now. Right now, it's quite simply they're getting more production out of Joel Pozo than they are Luke and Baker, so you get Baker back to AAA and allow him to get some timing. The Real Third Man commented on our video stream asking about doing some piggybacking where you would pair Gray and McGreevy and Graceffo and Michaelis and things like that. First off, piggybacking really doesn't happen that much in Major League Baseball. I would not be totally against it happening once per time in the rotation where you kind of have it built for a starter's going to go five, and then a reliever is going to come in and go four. Two things, though, against that. A, you're playing with fire, because if it goes poorly and you have to go to the bullpen, you've almost set aside this day that's supposed to be an off day for the bullpen, and then all of a sudden you go to it. That's a little bit of a dangerous situation. And then the other side of it is you've got the bullpen there for a reason, and you've got Ryan Helsley there for a reason. If it's a one-run game, a two-run game late, you want to use those guys. So generally speaking, I am against that sort of thing happening in Major League Baseball. I don't think it's a great thing to be able to do. All right, that is going to do it for the program tonight. Thanks so much for being tuned in. We'll be back with you for Cardinals baseball coming up tomorrow right here on KMOX.